We are so happy that we are all here joining us today. There are so many people now. I hesitate to mention them all, but we're so thankful that you are all here. So glad that we're able to worship God together, even though we aren't in the same room. So glad that we can do all of that. Today is Mother's Day, so I happen to have a lesson here this morning about that. Now, I tend to think of the greatest example of a particular thing whenever I want to preach about a good example. And not always, because sometimes there are some good examples that may not be a perfect overall example. But Jesus is the perfect example that we have for anything, and he's the perfect person to go to for everything. And so I'm so glad that that we have in scripture we have his example to show us what the truth is. Now, we also have other examples in scripture as well. The thing about Jesus is that he was never a woman, he was never a mother. Now, we do have plenty of examples that he has given to us for various things. But one great example, and I would say almost a perfect example of a mother would be of Mary, his mother. There's a reason that God chose her to be the mother of his child. And Mary, she doesn't quite receive the credit that she deserves. Sometimes some people deify her. Some people treat her as something that she's not. This is a picture, if you're watching on the PowerPoint. She is, by some denomination, she's called the Queen of Heaven. And that is certainly not something that it's a tradition that we talked about this morning a little bit, that is not found in scriptures, and in fact is counterfactual to what we find in scriptures. They almost deify her. Some people, they'll ignore her entirely. They'll say, well, she's deified in some places, and so we're going to go in the complete opposite direction and say we're not going to even talk about her or anything like that at all. And that's not right either. The thing is, she is a great example for women and for mothers. She is perhaps the best example of a godly woman in scriptures, and of course the best example of motherhood. In Luke chapter 1, we see a good chunk of that. Luke chapter 1 and 2 as well, but we're going to look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 42. We see, then she spoke with a loud voice. Elizabeth spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And we need to recognize that Mary is blessed among women. Mary said that all generations will call her blessed later on in verse 48. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. We see in first, or rather in Psalms 127, verses 3 and 5, the blessing it is to have a child, to have a quiver full of children, that it is a heritage from the Lord, as Solomon wrote there. So how much more of a blessing is it that God handpicks you to be the mother of the Messiah? Through her came the salvation of all the world. Through her comes the salvation of all the world. So then, what lessons can we learn about her as a mother? What lessons can we learn about her? Well, I've chosen three things that she has done that I think is a wonderful example that she has given us. It all boils down to a plan. Her choice of a child's father, her choice of a support system, and her choice to obey God. So those are the 3 points that we have here this morning. First, we note the choice of the child's father. This is the potential first choice of any mother, and especially in regard to motherhood. And it's done well before the child is born. And that is such an important thing for us always to consider. When I was a single man, and I was, you know, looking for the right woman to marry, I was given the advice that whoever I end up marrying will be the mother of my children. And that's such an important thing for us all to consider. So important for us to consider that the person that you end up marrying will be the parent, will be a parent for your child. If you're a man, you know, the woman will be the mother. If you're a woman, the man will be the father of your child. And that's such an important thing for us always to consider that our spouse will be helping us raise this child. It will be an example in the home and could heavily influence our child one way or another. And that is such an important thing to consider. We note that Joseph was a righteous man. It says he was a just man. We go all the way back to Matthew chapter 1, and we see what's written there. First off, do you think that God would have allowed his son to be raised by an unrighteous man? So while he is the heavenly father, certainly Joseph is a righteous man as well. And Mary's choice to accept the proposal of Joseph to marry Joseph is a great thing. Again, do you think that even no matter how righteous Mary was, do you think that if Joseph was not a righteous man, that he would that God would have allowed his son to be born by her? I don't think so. So he was loving toward Mary by not wanting to make a public example of her, believing that she had committed fornication. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 24. Then Joseph, her husband, not a full husband, but it's sort of their understanding of husband in terms of the fact that they were betrothed. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, it says, a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to her, minded to put her away secretly. But then after that, after hearing from the Lord what happened, what the truth of the matter was, he obeyed the Lord and married her. We see in verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, you do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And when she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So, women out there who are as yet unattached, who are not yet married, this is such an important thing for you to consider. Be selective about the man that you marry. He is going to be very influential in raising your child your children to, is a phrase that I say often to people. And I picked it up a while back, and it's such a wonderful thing to consider here. Chase after God. Chase after God and marry the man who can keep up. Chase after God and marry them. And of course, this goes for the young men as well. Chase after God and marry the woman who can keep up. This doesn't mean that he is going to be perfect. This doesn't mean that he must be perfect. He's not going to be. But it does mean he is willing to grow in Christ. If he is not willing to grow and to improve as a Christian, quite frankly, he's not worth your time. Move on. I know that might be difficult for some people to understand, but it is the truth. Move on. Another aspect that we need to be mindful of, well, you know what makes babies. You know how babies are made. Only do those things with a man you know is committed. And the only way that you can know that if he is committed is if he has made the commitment to stay with you forever and he has married you, at least as long as you both live. Even then, of course, such commitments are not guaranteed, but it's much more sure than a one-night stand, than a boyfriend, or even a fiancé. Make sure he has made that commitment. Joseph had not done anything like that with her. Yet they were engaged. They were betrothed. We note that in Matthew chapter 1 that she was a virgin until Jesus was born. He was even willing to refrain after they were married until Jesus was born. You do not know if the result of whatever activities that you engage in of that sort, you don't know if that will end in a pregnancy. So it's not worth taking that chance. Next, let us consider the choice of a support system. The choice of a support system. See, mothers need support. A husband can help, surely. And in fact, I know I've helped with my children on many occasions. But a woman really does need help from other female friends and family. It can be very beneficial, very helpful for her while she is a mother. In fact, any other time, that kind of support system can be very useful. Mary chose to have her relative Elizabeth to be a support system for her. She was older, and she also happened to be pregnant. We note that she stayed with her for 3 months and that they rejoiced with one another. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren. So that's another important aspect of being a mother, is to have that support system to help you during such times. Verses 39 and 40. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And in verse 56, it says that Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So she stayed there for 3 months. They rejoiced with one another, as this picture depicts. I think this is such a beautiful picture. The first time I saw it, I couldn't help but I hesitate to mention this as a man, but I couldn't help but to get a bit emotional about it. The sheer joy that is shown on the faces of Mary and Elizabeth at this time, Elizabeth being barren for so long, and yet now is able to have a child, and not only the happiness that she feels there, but the happiness that her relative will be giving birth to the Christ child, will be giving birth to the Savior of mankind, and she is there to witness it. It's such a touching scene that that I just absolutely love this picture here. But typically, for most of us, the support systems that we have are family. I know that my mother-in-law has been a great help to us from time to time, especially right after the children were born, to help Victoria out whenever she needed it. And that's been such a big help for her and for all of us. It allowed me to continue working, and it allowed for my wife to get some sleep every now and then. So it was very helpful for us. We this is certainly the case for Mary. She chose her relative of Elizabeth. My wife also has her older sister, Holly, who helps out a lot from time to time. But the problem with family sometimes is that we live in a highly mobile society. People move all across the country, all across the state, all over the place. And so sometimes family is not available. So we must rely on friends. Some of us move around for jobs, again, often states away from our natural support systems. So we've got to rely on friends. And, this is where the church family comes in. This is where the church family comes in, offering a support system for young mothers when a family is unwilling or unable. We note that here we have Sarah and Lynn and Donna and so many others who are willing to help us with our children, and we're so thankful for their support. Victoria also participates in a she calls it a mom group. It's technically all in the circle of parents here, and that's a support system of young mothers here to help one another during difficult times. And so sometimes and that can be very helpful for her as well. So this is an important concept. We need to have the proper choice of a support system. We note in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 that older women are to admonish the young women to love their husbands and their children. We see that as something that we see in that particular passage. And certainly the older women in the church are meant to help with that as well. And the thing we must find, the thing we must be able to do is to choose a support system that is godly. I mean, how many people do you know out there who have chosen friends very poorly? And that's certainly the case for many people. And we need to be able to choose our support systems that are godly, that are righteous, that can help us with whatever situations that we are facing as young mothers, as mothers in general. And so a godly support system is so very, very important for us all. She chose the right man. She chose the right husband, chose the right father of her children. She chose a godly support system, her relative Elizabeth. But more than that, she chose to obey God. And that is something that we all need to take advantage of. We all need to choose the right spouse if we are. If we are not married yet, we need to choose the right spouse, a godly and just person. We need to choose a godly support system. Our friends need to be godly and help us on our journey toward heaven. But most importantly, we must choose to obey God. We must choose to. We must all make that choice to obey our Heavenly Father. We note that Mary had her devotion to God. We see that she had a devotion to God by she had to by obeying God through the law And throughout the narrative, we see that devotion throughout the scriptures here, particularly in chapters 1 and in chapters 2, chapters 1 and 2. And so for us, let us make sure that we have that proper devotion. First, we note some of the events that we see in Mary's life, the New Testament discussion on that, and then the Old Testament law that she was abiding by. We see her reaction initially in verse 38 to what the angel had said to her, what Gabriel said to her. She said, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." We see that she had recognized this devotion, that she had recognized that this reaction was so godly. Whatever God wills, let it be. Now, can you imagine being Mary for a moment? Can you imagine never having known a man in that way, and then suddenly you are pregnant, and you are going to have a child well before you were likely ready, at least in your mind, to do so. And yet she was willing to do this. Let it be according to your word. And I have on the PowerPoint here, 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 19. This is King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah had a similar reaction. He was told by Isaiah that there were some terrible things that were going to happen. And it was because of some of the things that Hezekiah had done and his pride. And so what we see in that passage is that his reaction was simply, whatever happens will happen. So the Lord's will is good. And we'll live by that. I won't complain. I won't debate. I will listen to God and obey him. We see that's Hezekiah's reaction. That's also Mary's reaction here. Not to mention, it was certainly a blessing to have a child, and let alone to have the Christ child, as we see the prophecy there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We note in Luke chapter 2, we're going to jump to Luke chapter 2 now, in verses 21, we're going to look at verses 21 and 24. We note that Jesus was circumcised in verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so we note here that that is exactly what she was supposed to do, what she and Joseph were supposed to do, present him in the temple, have him circumcised. And we see that this was done here on the 8th day, just as Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3 says. We note in several months ago, we had a lesson on Sunday evening on Leviticus 12. And so this is, we looked at it from the Old Testament perspective then. Now we're going to look at it from the New Testament perspective, to look at it as how Mary was fulfilling some of these commands here. It says that not only did she have Jesus circumcised, but she also fulfilled the days of her purification. We see in verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Again, this is Leviticus chapters 12, verses 2 through 4. These are the days of purification. It was because of some of the aspects of pregnancy that she needed to be purified. Of course, there was nothing wrong with her per se. But there was a purification ritual that had to be taken care of after a pregnancy. And so she did that. She did that very thing. And after that, she presented the Lord in the temple. We can see that in the next few verses. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. She presented the Christ, presented her child to in the temple, and brought Jesus to the temple and presented him to God. And And though it is not specifically stated, it is certainly implied that since he is the firstborn child of Mary, that he had opened her womb, so to speak, is the phrase in the Old Testament that we see often, that they had to redeem him. They had to pay 5 shekels of silver in the sanctuary, in the temple. And we see that redemption there implied in Luke 2:23. And of course, we see the passages that talk about that in Numbers 18 and Exodus chapter 13. They were to redeem him. It was this obedience to the Lord. She went to Jerusalem annually. We see this later in Luke chapter 2, that she went to Jerusalem annually for the Passover feast in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Now, looking at the law in Deuteronomy chapter 16, she as a woman was not required to go. There were three holidays that the Jewish men were required to go to under most circumstances. And Mary, as a woman, was not required to go, but she did anyway. She wanted to observe these things. She wanted to take advantage of the Passover meal in Jerusalem. And she did this every year, as was their custom. All right. So she was certainly devout to God. And she chose to serve him, chose to obey him. The primary evidence of her mothering style, because we don't see a whole lot of evidence in the scriptures for it. We don't see a whole lot, but the primary evidence that we see is how her children turned out. How her children turned out. We see that there's evidence to Mary's there's this evidence in Mary's children about how she mothered, how she obeyed the Lord. Because children are going to follow the examples of their parents. And so we can see this in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, that the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus grew, he became strong, he was filled with wisdom. And do you think Mary had no part in that? Certainly she did. In verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He continued to increase in wisdom and in stature. He continued to do these things, and no doubt that was in large part due to his mother's influence. So that is such an important characteristic, an important thing to understand. While Jesus is right, while Jesus while he was while they were while Jesus' brothers, they did not initially believe in him and Jesus, and we can see this in John chapter 7 and verse 5. One of them, we note, became a prominent leader in the church in Jerusalem. And that would be James. And he wrote another book. He wrote the book of James, as well as Jude, who was another brother of Jesus. And he wrote a book himself. We can see this in several passages in Mark chapter 6 and 3. And we looked at that when we looked at Mark. And we looked at James and Jude at that time as well. We can see that they became prominent leaders and even writers of scripture. And we're so thankful for that. So we note that this had to have happened because she followed the law in other areas. Not only did she follow the law in raising her children and presenting him to the temple and fulfilling her days of purification and going to the Passover, but in teaching. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, that parents were to teach their children. And this had to have happened with Mary and her children, and this is evidenced when Jesus went to the temple. We see a picture of that here. when Jesus went to the temple, no doubt she and her father, or she and her husband, helped to instill these things into Jesus and into his brothers and sisters. So if she's following the law in these other areas, she followed the law in teaching her children. And that very much was the case, and we see that evidence with James and Jude especially. But also, I think we can take note and see that in Jesus as well. You see, mothers, they have a vital role to play in obeying God. They do. You've got to teach your children through example. You've got to teach them to show reverence to the Lord, especially during worship. We've got our kids here, and they're being very quiet. I'm sure you can hardly notice that they're here. And sometimes it's a struggle to keep them well behaved during worship, and especially once we started doing these from home. But it's so rewarding to have them do that, to show them through example, to teach them to revere the Lord, especially while we worship, to pray with them, to teach them God's word. If these things are not taught, if these things are not taught to our children, I fear that our children are much more likely to fall away. We must teach them the truth of God's word. We must teach them how to respect and honor and trust in God. Let us not do our children a disservice by not teaching them these things. But choosing to obey God is a whole lot easier when we have made good choices already in our spouse and in our support system. So, looks like we're a little earlier today, but that's all right. That is all right. By way of conclusion, motherhood is easier, as I've noted, is so much easier if we follow Mary's example. Motherhood, I'm under no illusions. Motherhood is no easy task. It's such a hard road. And I respect all the mothers out there who've chosen to become mothers, and those who might not have chosen, who they are put in that position, and it's not something that they have that they planned on engaging in. I respect these mothers because it's no easy task, but it's so much easier if Mary's example is followed. She chose her husband wisely. She chose her godly support system, and ultimately she chose to obey God. She chose her husband wisely as a, she, he was a supportive husband and a great father. She chose her support system wisely. She chose someone who would encourage her and advise her. And I think that that's a good thing for us all to have. Not only that, she obeyed God. This is the very beginning of wisdom, as we see in several places in Scripture, including Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Choosing to obey God is the very beginning of wisdom. So let us honor our mothers and our grandmothers. Let us honor the women who have borne our children. Let us acknowledge them, acknowledge the love and the sacrifice that they have given to their children, to our children, to us and to our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. Let us recognize the sacrifices and the love that they've given to us. Men, let us be the husband. Let us be the father that we need to be. Let us be the son that we need to be to show these people, these women, these such important people in our lives, the honor that is due them. Women, let us be let you need to be a support system for each other. And I know that's many of you have already do that, and I'm so grateful for that. Be the support system that is needed for one another. Help each other out during the difficult times. Be the and for many of you, be the daughters that you need to be as well. Be the daughters, be the support system that you need for these mothers. And finally, the church. We need to encourage our women, our mothers, in their service to the Lord. Encourage them to be who they need to be the best mothers that they can be. And we're so blessed to have so many wonderful mothers and grandmothers in the congregation. And we need to show them that respect and honor that they deserve and to encourage them to continue serving the Lord. That can be so difficult under the circumstances sometimes, just because of how difficult motherhood is. It can be difficult to focus on the Lord, but we need to be able to do that, encouraging one another in the Lord's service. Finally, I have up here, I don't often do this, especially with a PowerPoint, but I want us to have these verses in mind, especially for those of you who aren't members of the congregation here, and especially for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We need you to serve. I ask you, I invite you to serve the Lord today. We see passages on there of what it means to become a Christian, to believe in Jesus, John 3:16, he who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But on top of that, we need to repent of our sins. Acts 17:30 tells us that he calls on all men to repent, to turn from our sinful ways and to point ourselves to Christ. We need to confess his name. We see that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. And that is such an important thing for us to be able to do. We also need to be baptized. We see in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, tells us that baptism, we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into his death. And then we are raised to walk in newness of life, just as Christ was raised from the dead. So let us, if we haven't obeyed the gospel, we haven't served the Lord through these things today, I encourage you to do so. I know we've got the whole pandemic, but we'll take that chance. Some of us will take that chance to serve you, to help you put the Lord on in baptism if you're local. In a little bit, we'll have instructions on how to respond to the invitation. If you're local, we will take care of that. If you are not local, we will do our due diligence to find someone who can help you do just that. Please let us know if you need to obey the gospel today, if you need to become a Christian. And for those of us who have become Christians already, we're already Christians, and yet there's something that we need to do to return to the Lord. If there's something that we need to do to show our devotion to Him again, if we need to repent of a sin and turn from it, then we have that chance as well. Will you return to the Lord? Will you repent of whatever sins that you have committed? Acts chapter 8, verse 22 tells us about one man who did just that, or was told to do just that, to repent and to pray for the forgiveness that he needed. We're told also in James 5:16 and 1 John 1:9 to confess our sins. If we need to confess our sins, especially, we definitely need to confess them before the Lord. And if we need to confess them before man, we need to do that as well, to make sure that we are right with God so that others can pray for us. And if you need that this morning, we have that opportunity, please put the Lord on in baptism. Serve God today, for tomorrow could be too late. We are ready to assist you at any time. If you have a need, please let us know as we sing this song.